Welcome to the Trade Show Podcast, the home for conversations with global leaders in the trade show and events business. Our show will bring you face to face with experts who speak about the possibilities and trajectories of this $50 billion industry. I'm your host, Shubhanjan Sarkar, founder of PitchLink, the next generation visitor engagement platform, where our mission is to make conversion easy. Welcome to this episode of the Trade Show Podcast. Thank you for listening and your continued feedback. If you have suggestions or you want me to dig in with a specific guest, please write to me at shubhanjan@pitch.link or message me on LinkedIn. Both links available in the show notes. Welcome to the first of the two episodes rounding off 2025. This has been the year the trade show and events business made a comeback. At the Trade Show Podcast, we have had a series of insightful conversations with guests heading the largest trade bodies to iconic shows, research experts who are investing their time in looking at data and analyzing influences and trends. We have had CEOs of some of the most influential companies as well as thought leaders. And over the next two episodes, we revisit the topics and insights that were shared on the show. The topics, as you'd imagine, covered a lot. From best practices to motivations, from strategy to ROI, we covered a lot of ground. What exhibitors must know, the need for facilitation by organizers, engagement on the floor, and most critically, the follow-up post-show, all figure in the conversations I had with my guests. Take a listen, and if you find any of it interesting, don't forget to check out the episode links which are shared in the show notes below. Wish you all an exciting and healthy new year in 2026. We have some great conversations lined up to start the year with a bang. Let's dive in. Enrico Gallorini.
Events are the foundation of the human evolution. Those moments where humans gather together for a specific need, those moments, those collective moments where the human gathered together were really foundational, because at the beginning we need to meet for a simple reason, we need to survive.
Sridhar Ranganathan.
You probably go to an event for three reasons. One is brand building, two is pipeline generation, three is getting into the network. Okay, being connected with and, you know, adequately, you know, involved in the market ecosystem that you play, right? So if you look at it that way, brand building is probably, it's fuzzy. Mm-hmm. Okay. You don't know whether you got ROI or not. Or you could always make an argument that you did, which is what people tend to do, right? And it's a very, very late payback. It's a very lagging indicator. Okay.
Yeah.
Pipeline, with reasonable sense, you know within the next 45 to 60 days whether you were able to generate pipeline.
Yeah.
Right. So by thinking of an event as a process, you reduce the angst to declare good or bad ROI 1 week after the show.
Lee Ali.
One of the elements for me is that how do companies actually see exhibitions? Is it a sales process or is it a marketing process? Okay. Mm-hmm. And the strategy is driven of how you actually believe exhibitions can actually help you. Are you actually going there to generate sales leads or are you there to create brand awareness? Okay. And in B2B sales or in the B2B environment, nobody actually comes with a checkbook and says, I've had a great conversation, I'm going to buy straight away, okay, and gives you a check for $1 million, $2 million. It doesn't work that way. And what exhibitions are the first step in that customer journey.
John Blasky.
First of all, is trade show activity, is it principally sales or principally marketing? And people put up their hands, it's both, it's both. And I ask people, how many of you actually made a sale at your last trade show? And nobody does, because the sale comes later. So now we've established it's marketing. So, and then this is John speaking, you don't need reps on the booth. You don't need a wide open booth that will allow anybody in. And in those days, I was saying, you don't need to give brochures out in the aisles. And people used to think I was mad.
Steve Moore.
So when I go to a trade show, I really hope to make at least one or two sales. So with our SaaS service, if we make even a single sale at a trade show, it gets paid for itself. The expense of going there and the time, but also to establish our name brand more fully. It has been helpful, and to the point where now when we go to trade shows in our niche, so we're a construction software company, that now most people have heard of us. And that is very valuable, starting to build that common name brand. So those are two things I'm really after. But then another side product that we get out of it is that we're able to connect with existing customers as well. And they're able to see us and establish a name with the face and fortify that relationship further. So I guess maybe it's a threefold.
Karina Bauer.
I suppose really what I'm saying is there are multiple elements apart from just the human connection that companies really need to understand in order to make the most of an investment that they make in a trade show, rather than just seeing it as a one-off quick event and, you know, we'll just send the junior to run the booth. Certainly what I see is at IMEX, very senior suppliers on the booths, even if they're not taking the individual meetings, but, you know, the VP of sales or the CEO of different companies or senior teams are coming in and they are having important meetings around the trade show, but they're also spending time on the booth. I look at a CEO like Reggie Agarwal from Cvent, and despite running a, whatever, $4 billion company now, he's on the booth at IMEX trade shows.
Sridhar Ranganathan.
If you look at the event really as a process rather than as an event, like Kumar Vembu, my previous boss, used to say, okay, it's a fabulous return on investment. Okay, because you're not looking at it as, hey, I just blew up like 200K in 4 days. That's a very, very short-sighted way of looking at the thing, right? The smarter exhibitors think of it as it's part of an ongoing process. I was speaking with Gopal Krishna from Zetwork, and he was saying, event touch points, when I meet with customers and prospects at the event, in my ABM system, they are looked at as engagement minutes and touch points. So he's looking at event as a continuum of a series of touch points with prospects. Okay, so, and he's leaving nothing to chance, right? He's not saying, like, you might open up a new account there. You might open up a conversation with a new account. Absolutely, yes, that's what you're there for, okay? But you're also there to make sure that your prospects and buyers are continuing in their journey with you. Yeah. So you're not looking at the event as a one-off thing.
Martin Kelly.
I think there's a power to that, to having everybody come together in one place, to see the scale of everybody, and to have your main speakers, who are hopefully the pioneers of the industry, up on stage. You want people to experience that. So that's something that you want to enable. But when it comes to the rest of the time, I think it comes back to what I was saying before, is that people have different motivations for coming to an event. I have some partners who are over in LinkedIn posts of like, they do not watch one single session. They come and they pack their agenda with meetings, and that's what they come to the event for, right? And that's their motivation. And then there's other people who go to learn, and they go for educational purposes and content. And so your motivations might be different. And this is actually an interesting aspect of kind of conferences and the rationale behind conferences. If I go back to the beginning of my Terrapin days, or, you know, if I talk to my colleagues there of like the rationale of why people went to events, sometimes people in those days used to go for content. And for certain areas, like sectors like the pharmaceutical industry, people still go to content because they like that format of the presentation style. And so you might have people genuinely buying a ticket to digest content.
Nancy Drapeau.
Anything that's interactive, engaging is more popular on a show floor, learning activity. Anything that pertains to a hot industry or a trend, also very popular. You can have a session that is 45 minutes or shorter and is going to draw an audience if it truly is a hot industry trend that attendees on that show floor care about. So to the issue of an exhibitor investing in that kind of activity, their ultimate objective, of course, is to, you know, generate leads or attention or motivate individuals that could be prospects for what they're selling to go to the booth to have conversations.
Sridhar Ranganathan.
Attendance at these shows has been steadily going up. Okay. And the quality of conversations are also much higher. Okay. Unlike typical, say, networking events and conferences, these shows tend to be focused on, can I learn more about what's there new in the market? Can I figure out what sort of solutions or a combination of them will solve some of the problems that I have? That's the mindset with which buyers come to these shows.
Right.
Sellers go to these shows to demonstrate what are the new capabilities that buyers would be interested in, and also learn what is it that they are missing from their repertoire, from their portfolio, which is necessary. So these shows serve as very high intensity, high frequency interaction points between buyers and sellers. And there's a lot of learning, osmosis, and promotion that takes place here.
Matthew Harris.
A good example is a congress. You know, people come to a congress to listen to speakers, to get their professional development points. And the exhibition is a value-added tag on to the congress, so that the people who want to pay to promote their products and services have an opportunity to be there. It's a way for organizers to make money. It's a way for attendees to get off their seat listening to someone talk about a topic that they don't like and go and walk on the exhibition floor.
Martin Kelly.
Yeah, it's very interesting doing a meetings-based event where we sold booths, and the booths were only there as vehicles for meetings. And that was very interesting in terms of, whereas in other events I've been a part of, booths are there to show off and what have you, and to, you know, in certain instances to be more creative with. In this environment, the booth was just to make it easy to not miss meetings. So it's very interesting to see a different format of event or a different focus of event in terms of, and the behavior of people and people, what people are buying, why they are buying certain things or why they're doing certain things. So that was also a very interesting kind of takeaway of the different of the different purposes behind real estate within expo trade show floors.
It's time for a short break. Stay with us. You are listening to a Bizcast audio original. Podcasting is one of the fastest growing content marketing avenues today. We can help you exploit this largely untapped marketing opportunity. We can craft your audio strategy and leverage the wide reach and easy streaming capability that smartphone penetration provides. It is powerful and personal. Talk to us to find out how podcasting can help you build your brand and reach out to target audiences. Welcome back. I'm Shubhanjan Sarkar, your host for the Trade Show podcast and founder of PitchLink, the visitor engagement platform. Let's dive right back into the episode. Steve Moore.
I'd say study out what makes a good booth, because they oftentimes get just cluttered with so much mess and information, and you don't even know what the company is doing. Just keep that clean, neat, concise messaging, enough to show people what you do to get them interested to ask more. Be really good about collecting contacts, looking for solutions like Subhanjan's solution, gather those contacts, and have notes, things like that for the follow-up. Once people return home from a conference, they just forget everything really quickly and just get back into catching up with the week's worth of work that they've fallen behind on. So being able to capture that and bring that forward past the conference.
Lee Ali.
And if you look at the engagement journey, I just mentioned that we have to physically stop people. How do we grab attention? Okay. The booth can actually do one part, and that's where the creative design and all of that comes in, and your booth attractions, and you can stop people. But the first impression is all down to you, the first person who actually approaches you as an attendee and says, "Hello, Okay. What brings you to the event? Okay. It's that first element. Okay. And there are certain types of people in your team who will actually not feel comfortable actually doing that. Okay. They need to be the most outgoing people who can actually handle the rejection. Okay. Mm-hmm. Who've got the energy. Okay. To stand on their feet 8 hours a day. Okay. Yeah. Just talking to every single person or approaching every single person that walks past. Okay. Everyone in your team will be able to do that. Some of them will not feel comfortable. Okay. So you really need to understand, okay, what is our customer journey look like? Okay. So the first part I've just mentioned is the proactive engagement of the attendee, where you stop them and say hello and hopefully engage them in conversation, break the ice, and then qualify them. Okay. To see if they're a good fit for your business. But what do we do? What do businesses do, or the exhibitors? They select people. They say, right, you're coming to the exhibition. All of you stand here, okay, and just talk to people as they come, okay? And what happens? The attendees come up and they ask you a question like, so tell me, what is it that you do? And guess what? Our sales teams or marketing teams, whoever's on the booth, they give a 10 to 15 minute pitch about everything that company is doing. And guess what? The attendee says, well, thanks very much for your time. It's not something I'm actually interested in. And they walk away.
John Blusky.
We have used, in many cases, professional performers to learn a script, three important questions to qualify people in the aisle, and actually not let them into the booth if we're going to waste their time, there's no point in it. And I've seen lots of sales reps on booths over the years waste so much time talking, and not listening. And we recommend at a trade show, you're representing trade shows, which are business to business. It's not a sales exercise. It's a marketing exercise. You don't need your salespeople. The salespeople come later. You know, the trade show is the flirting. The date comes later. But it is all down to the quality of the data you capture.
Marco Barozzi.
One of the most important things today, I think, is qualifying. And if you are not able to qualify, you can do that through technology. Maybe it's not enough. But when you are at the show, how can you qualify somebody who's just curious about your product or somebody who's really interested in your product? And so that's something you can use your partner, you can use an agency, you can use your staff, but then you have to provide them with the right instructions, because sometimes I think this is important to align the staff and the team who's going to be in the show to, you know, what they have to do during the show, before, during, and after.
Steve Moore.
I built this device. Kind of an interesting vision. I've seen displays where you have a projected image onto the backdrop. And I wanted to take that a step further, get a lot of the most commonly asked questions from people. And I created this controller where people can just walk up to it and hit a button, and it plays a 20-second video that answers their question. And we had 8 of those videos, like the most common questions that people ask. It just gets straight to the point. I put little arcade style buttons that are lit up, and on the backdrop, I had an animation that, you know, invited people to push a button to learn more, and created this kind of self-serve experience as kind of an experiment, seeing, like, you know, having less presence at the booth, but letting people walk up and interact with it. Would that actually increase engagement, or would that decrease engagement? I'm an introvert, so I always expect people to want the introvert approach to a booth. You know, when I walk through an exhibit hall, so I always don't want to get sucked into to people's booths and the big, long conversations just to learn what their software is about or product, and learn it doesn't even apply to me, but just kind of politely nodding my head yes. And so with this approach, people can jump in, just poof, hit a button, get a really short, concise, but really flashy explanation of it. And they can even skip to the next one if they're bored.
Nancy Drapeau.
96% of exhibitors, my apologies, use attendee engagement tactics to ultimately achieve the specific performance metrics they're looking to achieve at a trade show. I mean, the trade show channel is all about face-to-face. So the companies that invest in the channel, it's integral to their marketing and sales process to have that face-to-face engagement throughout the purchase process continuum. And what's exciting is that the data from this report series, part three, shows or proves that exhibitors say trade shows deliver against specific performance metrics. So the typical top three objectives for investing and exhibiting is to generate sales leads, you know, keep that, you know, funnel of leads coming through, as well as achieving a variety of branding objectives. And then to slightly face-to-face engagement as well with customers and prospects.
Marco Barozzi.
And exhibitions organizers, as I said at the beginning, I think sometimes and still, in my opinion, are still too much, you know, focusing on the square meters, on the space, you know, and not on the value of what they are giving. Yeah. And obviously, as you can easily prove, I guess, and things are changing. I mean, because companies are not or do not want just to have a booth in a show. I mean, they want to have something value. I mean, they want to have an experience. They want to have, and especially still, they're talking about their obsession, which is the ROI, you know, their ROI, and because they have their boss or they have their commercial director, I mean, come into them and say, hey, I mean, what are the results of the show?
Lee Ali.
I think the exhibition industry has a lot to answer for, okay, because the organizers provide these tools, okay, like the batch scans and the software companies, they have these great data capture stuff. But where is the real value being provided, saying, right, where is the matchmaking taking place? Yeah. Where is the, you know, asking the right questions and really get to know our people to avoid, because it literally takes 3 to 4 questions to ask someone to determine whether they're right fit for your company or not.
John Blusky.
And I stood up at a conference and I said, tell me, this was all organizers on the top table. I said, how many of you guys, how many of your salespeople understand what makes an exhibitor successful or what makes a successful exhibitor? And there was a smelly silence in the room. And at that time, a fellow called Rusbridge said, well, that's a devastating question, John. The problem is the selling of the space or the selling of the opportunity is not done thoroughly. And I take my hat off to a guy called Andy White, who started at Clarion, went to DMG in Dubai, and hired me on many occasions to do masterclasses on behalf of the organizer to tell exhibitors how to do it better. And in many cases, prospects who hadn't signed up for the show. So we got them signed up and informed their salespeople at the same time where I was coming from and what really made a successful exhibitor.
Karina Bauer.
From a show perspective, our opportunity and challenge is always driving value to people in the industry. And for us, that's largely, you know, the exhibitors on the one hand and the buyers that are coming on the other hand. Of course, how people want to experience live events is changing all of the time. And certainly since the pandemic, we've seen that accelerate, I think. People's expectation of the reason why they come. So we know that people want to meet face to face, increasingly so. And in fact, the younger generations, all the research points to the fact that they want to engage with each other and do business face to face. But the reason that they come face to face is different. And I think as event organizers, as trade show organizers, we need to recognize that and keep providing them with the right value.
Matthew Harris.
There's one event that we've worked with for a number of years who does it exceptionally well. They sort of divide their exhibition floor up into the startup zone, and then the feature product zone, then the main exhibition floor. And the strategy is to support the big exhibitors who want to bring as many people to their booth to capture leads, to bring as many customers to the booth to talk about new products that they can upsell and to sell the biggest sponsorship dollars to them so they can actually get a greater return on the event overall. But in parallel to that, you have these startup zones where, you know, the organizer wants to take an entrepreneur's idea on a journey through a multi-year strategy that's fit for purpose in their budget. And it works really well.
Steve Moore.
Something makes a big difference is like how on display the exhibits are. Sometimes they'll be relegated off to some dark corner or a hallway or something like that that doesn't get as much attention. Other shows will really focus specific time for the exhibit hall or like really put a lot of time between each session and breaks that just dramatically increases your exposure to customers. And then, of course, like the subject of the shows is really big. So sometimes you'll have like potential customers in these shows, other types of shows, but their focus is all on something totally different, you know, during the show.
Nancy Drapeau.
An event might have 10,000 people coming, but one must be realistic in terms of, you know, the number of people you can engage with over a 3-day period. And it's a function too, how many staff you have in the booth, how big your, you know, your show booth is, all of that. So you need to be very strategic from an exhibitor perspective on investing well.
Lee Ali.
The challenge I've found over the past few years is that exhibitors don't have the education, okay, formal education about how to exhibit, how to actually create an exhibition strategy. And usually the person who ends up organizing the exhibition or running the exhibition process is either the marketing person or somebody who's been handed down the job, okay, from the sales and marketing team or the executive team, and they've not been formally trained about how to actually put together the exhibition strategy and actually align it then with the sales and the marketing departments, okay? And part of the job, again, that we do as part of the TEO process is to get all the stakeholders together of the company and really get them to understand what exhibitions actually mean to each department. Okay, and until companies, you know, take a holistic and structured approach, they're always going to struggle with actually getting an ROI or an ROO from their exhibitions.
Marco Barozzi.
You know, because you're telling me you're obsessed by, you know, ROI. But okay, let me understand. When you go to a trade show, to an exhibition, I mean, do you set or fix objectives? And he said, no. And I said, listen, I mean, how can you prove or give, you know, information about ROI if you don't set objectives?
Karina Bauer.
The exhibitor perspective, though, the most sophisticated exhibitors are measuring their ROI over a number of years. So they have found ways to be able to log within their CRM systems where they've met people, what discussions have taken place, and they can go back and say, I met this buyer at IMEX in 2019, and as a result of that, I have this event of this value coming into my city or my hotel or venue. And so they can log it really quite specifically. And those exhibitors can give us some amazing data, about how they've measured the ROI and what that ROI is.
Martin Kelly.
It's a big challenge for our industry. You know, what I've noticed, though, is that companies have just got a lot better at deciding themselves whether they're getting ROI. And the marketing teams are becoming much more sophisticated. You know, and it was interesting working on some shows, you know, you walk in and the data points they have for their own events are amazing. And so that was kind of good takeaways for me in terms of what could we integrate. For certain large sponsors, you know, they have, they break it down. They know exactly why they do the event. Maybe it's for their brand. And so those are kind of maybe more, harder to define, but they know that that is useful for their brand. But when it comes to lead generation, you know, now I go into meetings and they have the exact number of leads that they've pulled in of, you know, of people who are new clients. They know what they've done with existing clients. It's so they have a lot of the time a very sophisticated handle on whether this was a success or not. And the teams within those companies are asking for more and more. So I think it's going to get more and more diligent in the same way people have asked of digital things of, you know, when we look at certain things in terms of referral partners, you know, we know how much revenue is tied to a code link or what have you. But there's also aspects that we know that are hard to attribute.
PitchLink makes buying easy by enabling high quality engagement between buyers and sellers. Through its presentation and discussion modules, sellers create customized sales narratives using sales collaterals and personal videos and reach out to prospects through a non-intrusive, buyer-qualified engagement process. PitchLink requires no installation or download, contains and manages the entire repository of sales collaterals and buyer-seller conversations. Talk to us to know more about how you can engage with customers without interruption. Connect with us on LinkedIn or visit TradeshowEngage.com. That is TradeshowEngage.com. Sridhar Ranganathan.
When you're in the show, you are in that arena with a lot of excitement, high entropy, you know, a lot of action going on. So there's just a higher level of enthusiasm to do stuff. But pipeline building is a grind. It's a hustle. It's doing those repeatable jobs repeatedly that could be, you know, profoundly boring very quickly, right? But it's just being persistent, okay? It's very different in nature from like being at the arena, being at the show, you know, talking to a whole lot of people, shaking hands and having coffees and stuff. So what tends to happen is when you come out of the trade show bubble, you kind of get reset to the regular world, regular life, the 9-to-5 kids soccer games and whatnot, like traffic jam and everything else, that you give this a miss. The fact that you had great conversations, but those conversations really matter to you only when you follow up on them. We know that in sales, money's in the follow-up.
Steve Moore.
The biggest mistakes I see are, yeah, failing to follow up in a timely fashion when people are still excited about and remember the product. But if you wait too long, people will then see your email follow-up as just junk mail. But if you get it quick enough on the ball, they see that personal connection, they remember you, and it's still fresh in their minds. I think that's probably the biggest one. And then, taking good detailed notes on the individual and being able to follow up with what that customer really cares about and leading with that. Right. I think those are the things that I want to work on more.
John Blusky.
I don't want to chop down forests, but I am a great believer in quality leads. And that could be a tablet. It could be a piece of paper. We've used paper very often, just one sheet of paper, to gather all the market intelligence that the client wants and to give people options to take the conversation further. It's no good saying, well, I'll get my rep to ring you, give me a card. What is the purpose of that? What we do in my business and when we're consulting for people is give a visitor a compelling reason to see you again. And that is about starting at the end. What is the next event that you want your prospect to come to? And when we're consulting for a client, we say, what is the next event? Because this event, whatever the trade show is, should be bouncing people into something else. Is that a masterclass? Is it an open day at your factory or your business? Is it a training session? Is it a familiarization session? Is it a review of some sort, a range review, a strategy review, which I use quite a lot?
Enrico Gallorini.
Exhibition can become the oracle of the industry. That's a completely new way of thinking. It's not only the archive mode, we archive all the things. We can use the knowledge to understand and help the industry to go in the best direction. So passing from business enabler to market oracle.
We have a fantastic lineup over the next couple of episodes featuring great conversations on engaging your booth visitors and maximizing your ROI from your trade show investments. Subscribe in your favorite podcast app so you do not miss a single episode. Thanks for listening. Thank you for being with us today on the Trade Show Podcast, the podcast of record for the trade show and events industry. Here we talk to movers and shakers of the $50 billion trade show industry and identify ideas, challenges, tactics, and strategies to leverage the first-party intent inherent in the trade show business. We hope this conversation helped inform and motivate as we all navigate a rapidly changing business environment. For us, these are enlightening conversations enriched with knowledge and expertise. We encourage you to go out and implement some of the ideas we discussed today. We hope to have you with us again in the next exciting episode of the Trade Show Podcast. If you liked what you heard, subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast platform like iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcast from, and give us a rating while you are at it. This is a Bizcast original podcast and is produced for Pitchlink, the next generation visitor engagement platform where our mission is to make buying easy. Hosted by Shubhanjan Sarkar and produced by Rajiv Aditya. See you next time and have a wonderful day.